we can have our visitors with us. We're grateful for you being with us today, and hope that you'll be blessed by being with us. We've been studying, we began a few weeks ago in a series of lessons about God rewriting our story. Before we begin our lesson this morning, a couple of things I want to tell you about. First of all, 5 o'clock this evening, right here in this room, Brian will be showing this movie, Summer Snow. It's our third Sunday family movie time. Everybody's invited. It doesn't cost you anything. We even give you free popcorn. So we just a time of fellowship and be able to come out and watch a good movie and just spend some time together. So that's happening at 5 o'clock this evening. All right? We've been talking about, one other thing I need to tell you about before we begin this also. It just jumped into my head here, and if I don't tell you now, I won't tell you later. Next Sunday, Brian is going to be speaking because Cindy and I will be down in South Carolina spoiling our grandchildren. And so we won't be here. Brian will be speaking for you during the worship time, and I certainly appreciate him filling in for that. So just keep that in mind, a little program note of what is going on. We, by the way, wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope that your holiday time will be a blessing for you. So we've been talking about the fact that all of us have a past. And in our past, every one of us has some good, some bad, and the ugly. One of the things about this part that we've been saying is that that good and bad and the ugly, some of it is a result of our own doing. There are things that we've done, choices we've made, things we've been involved in that's good, bad, and ugly in our lives. We're responsible for some of that. And then there are some of that good, bad, and ugly that, you know, we don't have any control over. Maybe it's things that have been done to us by other people. But the fact remains that that's part of all of us. We have some of each of those things in our life. It is a part of our past. And another thing we've been saying about that is that you cannot change it. Your past is your past. You can't go back and undo it. So what we want to make sure we don't do is to live in the past. We'll talk about more of that in just a moment. But those things, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, make up your story. That is who you are in one sense of the word, okay? It is what's happened to you, what you've done throughout your life. Now, these are some principles we've been talking about. Just to remind you, one of the things that we have to keep in mind, especially when we look at our past and we say things aren't getting any better, they're not getting any different, well, then maybe what you got to do is start changing what you're doing. Because this is true. If you always do what you've always done, what happens? You always get what you've always gotten. All right? So we go back to what Einstein said. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I keep reminding you of these things because, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing. Okay? We don't like what's going on in our lives, but we keep doing the same things over and over and over again and thinking that, well, maybe if I do it enough, something different will happen. Well, that's not going to be the case. You got to do something different, and that's what this series of lessons is really all about, helping us to allow God to change our past. So this we've been saying, if you don't do anything different, your past then will be your future. My encouragement is that what we're doing is we want to look down the road into the future. Okay? We want to look down the future and say, look, I know where I am now. I know what's happened to me now. I know the maybe perhaps it's right now some ugly stuff that's been going on. We look at those kinds of things. We say, you know what? I don't want that to be where I am 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road if the Lord gives me that long. So what I have to do is be determined that right now I'm going to start doing things differently. And then the results will be 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, whatever it is down the road will be different than what they otherwise will be. So that's the idea here. We've got to do something different or what's happened in the past will keep happening and our future will be the same. The fact that we have a future, we've been talking about that. And that's where we are going to spend the rest of our life, is in the future. Okay? So the idea here is, again, change what you're doing so that your future does not replicate your past. All right? One or the other. We can either live in the past or we can live for the future as we're trying to serve God. We don't want to live in the past. What we want to do is let God change our story. So this morning, as we continue talking about letting God change our story, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Right? Now, let me ask you this. Okay, we're going to talk about cheaters as we start out this morning. Look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. It really is, in part, a story about a cheater. Okay? Most people don't like cheaters. Anybody like cheaters? Anybody? I don't see any hands up. Okay? So, you know, that's a true statement. Most of us don't like cheating. We don't like being cheated. Cheaters take advantage of people, as I have up here. And cheaters oftentimes think whatever the rules are, they don't apply to me. Well, you ever met anybody like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That's part of your past, isn't it? Meeting people like that. Maybe some of you in here, maybe that's who you've been. You see, it is a cheater. I was at the airport a couple of weeks ago when I went to visit my mom over here in Richmond, and I got over there to check in, and man, I'm telling you, the line was way long. They had some delays, and people were waiting to get through security. And it took almost an hour for me to get through, just to give you an idea of how long the line was. But as I was standing about midway in the line, there was this couple that came up there, and they tried to get in up at the front of the line. Okay? And there were the folks that were up there, and of course I think all the rest of us that were back there going, yes. They were going, no, you're not getting in. Like, go back there to the end of the line. You see? There's always somebody like that, isn't it? That thinks the rules don't apply to them, and that they can cut in line, and they can get ahead. And how does that make you feel when things like that happen? You see? Zacchaeus, as I mentioned a moment ago, was a cheater. He really was. Think about what the story tells us about him. You ever heard this statement before? Cheaters never prosper, or some cheaters never win, right? Well, Zacchaeus, in terms of earthly things, Zacchaeus was prospering. He was a cheater. Okay? Now, ironically, Zacchaeus' name in Hebrew meant pure. Okay? But at least in the first part of his life, until he met Jesus, his life was anything but pure. Maybe that name was an indication of what his future would say. Okay?
Amen.
Let that sink in a little bit here, okay?
All right.
The Bible tells us in this story that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Well, now, the chief tax collector in that time basically was responsible for a district where there were other tax collectors that worked under him. And so, basically, it was kind of like he was almost at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, and had all these other minor tax collectors that were funneling the tax money to him. And oftentimes, what apparently was happening, history tells us, that at each level of the tax collecting process, the tax collectors would kind of skim a little bit off for themselves. Okay? Now, that would explain why Zacchaeus is described here also as being very wealthy. Okay? Basically, you know, you've heard people about people cheating on their taxes. Okay? Well, in this case, the tax collectors were the ones who were cheating. They were cheating everybody else that was supposed to be paying their taxes. They were taking more than what was required by the Roman government. And that's basically who they were collecting the taxes for. And that's why tax collectors in Zacchaeus' day were not very popular.
No.
Because they were seen by the Jewish people as supporting the Roman government. They were willing to work for the Roman government, and they were not only taking the taxes, but they were taking more than what they should have in taxes from the people. And so the people despised tax collectors in Jesus' day. We know that Zacchaeus was a cheater because he basically admitted that. Okay? In verse 8 of chapter 19, he says to Jesus, we'll talk more about this in a minute, he says, if I have cheated anyone. You know, that's kind of like a lot of these admissions that celebrities and other people are making today. You know, they get caught doing something and they go, if I've offended anyone, you know, this kind of broad general, and that's kind of what Zacchaeus was doing. If I cheated anybody, and you almost hear this, not that I'm admitting that I did, but if I have, you say, well, he knew that he was. Otherwise, why would he have said so? So, by his own admission, Zacchaeus was a cheater. That is his story. Zacchaeus was a cheater. How about you? You ever cheated? Or ever been cheated by someone else? Maybe, you know, it was a spouse or some other significant person to you that cheated on you. Or maybe that you've done that. Maybe it was in some kind of business dealings or financial endeavor, what have you, that you got cheated. Or maybe you cheated someone else. Perhaps maybe, I don't know how well you can see that or not, but maybe on a test, you know, figuring out how to cheat so you can get a better grade. Ever seen anybody do something like that? Or maybe you did it when you were in school? Not asking for a show of hands on any of this. Just asking you to think about it. Okay? How about maybe at some kind of game? Whether it's a card game or any kind of recreational activity. You know? That maybe somebody else was cheating. Or maybe you were cheating. You know, this guy right here writes books about cheating. How to do it. You say, depending on what the topic is. Alright? How to cheat at home repair. Make it look like it's fixed, but not really. But it passes inspection. Okay? Now, how does that make you feel when you get cheated? Like this? Just awful inside? That you felt taken advantage of? Maybe lied to, and all of those kinds of emotions that come about. Maybe when you realize that you're the one who cheated someone else, and that kind of comes to you, and how awful you feel about that. The reality is that either way, if you have been a cheater in anything, God can rewrite your story. If you have been cheated on in one way or another, God can rewrite your story. Okay. In other words, you don't have to allow that past to be your future. And that's really what the story of Zacchaeus is all about. It's about a cheater having his story rewritten. So that his future would not be what his past was all about. And Jesus began to change Zacchaeus' story. When he saw him there in the tree, Zacchaeus, come down, and notice he says, immediately. Come down immediately, I must stay at your house today. That was the turning point for Zacchaeus. Going from being a cheater to being someone who's given their life to the Lord and allowing Him to rewrite his story. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. Well, then there's those mutterers. Okay? Mutterers. Y'all know what mutterers are, don't you? Okay? Mutterers are people who basically gossip and slander and talk about other people. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, maybe in some circumstance or situation where maybe you've been cheated by someone, or maybe you were cheating and other people found out, and people just started talking about it, you know, and gossiping and slandering. Maybe you didn't do anything, but people thought you did, and so they started muttering about you. Well, that's what they were doing to Jesus. They were muttering to one another about Jesus. How can this man stay in the house of a sinner? Now, that should help you to understand how the people of Jesus' day felt about those tax collectors. It, many times in the Scriptures, they are lumped together with sinners. For the Bible says that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. To the Jewish people, they were the same thing. There was no difference between them. And these folks, upon seeing Jesus interacting with Zacchaeus, thought that was just the worst thing in the world. How can you interact with someone who is so sinful? Well, Jesus had a response to that, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 9, another occasion where Jesus found Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth, and he went and had dinner with him, sat down at his house, okay? And look at what it says here. When Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Wow. Talk about a scandal of the day, okay? All right, all the tabloid newspapers in Jerusalem would have headlines all just going crazy over this. New rabbi eats with sinners and tax collectors. You see? Because that was completely unacceptable. Real religious people wouldn't do such a thing. They certainly would not hang out with sinners and tax collectors. So therefore, Jesus is suspect. He ate with them all the time. And look at what he says concerning that. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Okay? And he goes on to say this, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. See, the religious people of Jesus' day were content to give their sacrifices, give their money, and follow all the rules as we've been talking about in other lessons. Going through all the motions, checking off their scorecard and so forth, but they don't have anything to do with sinners. And Jesus said, but that's really what it's all about. Okay? Look at what he says. Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. That's, you know, what these people were doing. They were mutterers. They were gossiping.
Well.
So while they were pointing the finger at Jesus for being with sinners, they were themselves sinning in a grievous way against the Lord. Jesus refers to Zacchaeus as a son of Abraham. I like this part of the story especially. Because this is the victory part, okay? This is the rewriting part of the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I'm going to stay at your house today. And from there, everything in Zacchaeus' life changed. His whole future changed, okay? Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Wow. Right there, Zacchaeus declares, half of what I have. Remember the description of Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy man. I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. You see the story beginning to be rewritten? And then not only that, but he goes on to say, we talked about a moment ago, and if I cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much. See the change in Zacchaeus because of his interaction, his encounter with Jesus. He allowed Jesus to rewrite his story. How do we know that? Well, because of what Jesus says about him next. Okay? Jesus said to him, look at this statement here. Today, salvation has come to this house.
Amen.
Because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the that which is lost. Jesus declares Zacchaeus as a saved person. Now, you know, we can go back and theologically argue all the stuff about, well, you know, he hadn't been baptized yet and all those other things. You know, at this point, none of that matters. Jesus declared him that. And so, you know what? I think all that stuff gets taken care of. Okay?
Amen.
All right? Jesus declared him, today salvation has come to this house. I'm not going to argue with Jesus. Okay? He says that he is a son of Abraham. You need to understand that that means not just, it's not just a physical claim. He was a son of Abraham physically because he was a Jew. But Jesus is talking about spiritually.
Amen.
He is a son of Abraham. As is all those, like you and I,
Amen.
Who are saved in Christ Jesus. We're children of Abraham. That's why we sing that song, by the way. You know, Father Abraham had many sons. Y'all don't want to do that now, do you? But that's what he's referring to. You see? That's what he's referring to. Spiritually, he was accepted into Abraham's family. His future was being rewritten. The story about him. Well, God rewrote Zacchaeus' story. And he went from cheater to a son of Abraham. Isn't that a great story?
Amen.
It is one that should bring hope to all of us. Those who perhaps have been, as I've been saying, that maybe you've been a cheater in one way or another in your life. Maybe that's part of your past, and maybe Satan is using that against you, holding you captive by something you have done in your past. He does that, by the way, doesn't he? You see? Or maybe you've been cheated on in one way or another, and maybe Satan is using that to keep you bitter and depressed and all of those kinds of things that we oftentimes have when we're wronged by someone. I'm here to tell you this morning that if any of those things apply to you, just like Zacchaeus, God can rewrite your story. He can give you a different future. You see, Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners. He came for cheaters. He also came for those who have been cheated.
Amen.
The oppressed, the poor, and so forth. All of those. Jesus came for all of us. And Jesus loves you right where you are. No matter what's happened in your life. No matter what you have ever done. No matter what has ever been done to you. Jesus loves you as you are. But if it's sin involved, he doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to rewrite your story so that you can live in his glory and not in the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment and the hurt and the pain and all the other things that Satan wants to keep you in. He wants to give you a different future. All of us, Apostle Paul says, are guilty of sin. Therefore, all of us deserve to die. So, you know, we can look at the cheaters and go, well, you know, they're scum and they're, I don't have, you know what, maybe you didn't cheat but you did something else that was sinful. You're no better than the cheater. That's the message. Because sin is sin. So all of us deserve to die. But we need to understand this principle, I'm convinced of, that the church is not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. That's why Jesus came here. So that he can take our hurts and our pains and our sin and all of those things, and he can heal them and give us a new tomorrow. A different future. Because otherwise the future will say the same thing as the past. We don't allow him to do that. we've been saying all along through this series, and I want to remind you of this, principle. Your story and my story is in draft mode. And it will be that until you die. The last chapter will not be written until you pass from this earth. So that story has opportunity to be rewritten and continue to be rewritten throughout your life. But it will not be rewritten unless you allow God to do that for you. So realize and understand, whatever has gone on in your past, whatever hurt that you have caused other people, whatever hurt you have experienced from other people, just like Zacchaeus, God can rewrite your story so that your future will be different than your past. So let God rewrite your story. Whatever is going on, don't let it hold you to the past. But allow God to give you a better and brighter future. Not just in heaven, but even for the rest of your life here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live with all the bitterness and the hurt and the anger and all that stuff that is in my past. Things that have been done to me, and certainly things that I have done and caused for myself. I don't want to live that. And I don't want you to live there either. But more importantly, God doesn't want you to live there. And He wants to rewrite your story. So allow Him to do so. He's going to come up here and lead us in a song. We use that as an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open to everyone. I want you to think about it. And really be honest with yourself. Have you been like Zacchaeus, a cheater in your life? Maybe things that you have not gotten straightened out. Will you give that to the Lord this morning? Allow Him to take all that past away from you so He can rewrite your story as one who is living their life from here on out. Over those who are here this morning, that maybe you, the one who's been cheated on, again, in one way or another, and that bitterness and hurt and pain has got you just kind of locked in. Will you get rid of that this morning? Allow Jesus to take all of that away from you and free you from Satan's bondage of holding you in that garbage. You can do that this morning. Let Him have it all. Give it to the one who has the power to take it away from you and rewrite your story. Whatever your need is, we want to serve that need as best we can. But we can't do it if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this opportunity, this time of invitation. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a prayer or a private conversation with him. I'll be up front to receive anyone. And most importantly, if you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Christ, you've not been baptized into Christ, your past is one of sin that is separating you from God. Don't let that be your future. Give your life to Christ this morning. You can be baptized into Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of that sin and be baptized in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now.